Yes, how many of you have a memory of Jason and I making fun of you? I would assume it's kind of big. So yes, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Christy. I'm so excited to be here. I grew up going to school here, to church here, have been all over the place since there, but always seem to land back because I just love you and I love my friends and the community here. And for those of you who do know me and do know my crazy story that I don't want to get into, thank you so much for praying. Overall, I'm doing a lot better. I know, praise God, right? They realized that one of my problems was that I have a metal allergy and I had a permanent retainer and two fillings. So they took those out and overall, I'm doing really well. So then I went back to the desert and thought, perfect. And within 5 minutes, my tongue was swollen, my throat was closing, and I broke out in hives. So apparently, I have a metal and a desert allergy still, so I don't know what to do with that. But last night, I loved being with the girls last night because I get to come here with you girls often and the little Wednesday night girls, I don't get to see them very often. And so last night, I just really wanted to read all of Abigail and David's story. And so I set off into this entire journey of 1 Samuel 25, which you can open your Bible there. But then it went too long and I cut into like 4 minutes of the group time. And I don't want to do that to you girls, you know, because like I got to come back here. And so I'm not going to take your group time away. So we are going to go to 1 Samuel 25, and I'm just going to sum up the first part of the story, which I think you girls probably did your homework or you know her story, and so you know a lot of this anyway. But in 1 Samuel 25, basically where we're landing is that Saul is still king. He's still hunting David, and David and his men found this whole tribe, I guess, household, big, wealthy household. And while they were in the wilderness shearing their sheep, David's men were like a wall to them, is what Nabal's men say. And they protect them and they care for them and they were there for them. And so finally, it's holiday time, it's feast time. And so David says to his men, why don't you go talk to Nabal and see if we can come and join them for the holiday? David's men were tired, they were weary, they had been on the run, and they're thinking it's holiday time. And who doesn't love holiday time? And maybe they're thinking back to growing up and they were in their mom and dad's households and they think, well, maybe Nabal will share some of his holiday food with us. And so David's men go and they talk to Nabal, and Nabal's name means scoundrel or foolish one. And he says to David's men, who is David and who are his men? There's a lot of people who are escaping from their masters these days, basically coming as an affront to David. And so these men go back to David and tell him what Nabal said. And David, just at that moment, says, gird on your sword. We're going to take them down. We're going for blood, boys. And it's in that moment that one of Nabal's servants comes to Abigail and says, listen, this is what you've got to know and this is what happens. And so Abigail, our woman today, our woman of faith, she's filled with faith. She's filled with good understanding. And she starts to make food for David and his men. And she gets on her donkey and she comes and finds him and meets him in the wilderness. And that's where we're going to pick it up in 1 Samuel 25, verse 23. And it says, when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be, And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back for coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek your harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. And evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be of no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Father, we lift up this precious time to you. And we ask, God, as we are looking at someone that you called beautiful, that you called someone with good understanding, that God, as we see her faith in what you were doing, her faith in what you had called David to, and her faith in what you had called her to do, God, would you stir our hearts once again? God, I just thank you that I'm back here with my friends. And it's just so appropriate as we dive into yet another one of our biblical friends. God, we have grown to love these women, their stories, their warnings, their pathways, their blessings. And God, it has been my prayer this week that we won't just hear of their stories and think, oh, that's so good, that's so good. But that God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would put to practice within our lives the lessons that we have been learning and will continue to learn from these beautiful biblical friends that we're studying. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I was thinking back, and I think I've told this story here before, so I apologize. But I was thinking back to this time that Jason and I were in Nova Scotia, and we were in the middle of this big market, and there was this lady who was selling glass jewelry, and she was making it right there. And I was so excited to see how all of this worked. She had the fire going. She had these glass sticks. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it was amazing. And so she grabbed one of these colored glass sticks and she stuck it over the fire. And the glass began to melt and it was melting into these molds. And I thought, well, this is just so beautiful. What a beautiful picture of what God does to us, that he turns the fire on in our lives. And yet then he starts to melt our lives into this beautiful mold. This mold of jewelry, this mold of a diadem for him. And yet as this lady was melting her glass, all of a sudden, poof, it exploded everywhere. And she looked kind of shocked. And all of us who had gathered around just looked kind of shocked. And then she kind of shook it off and she was okay. And she grabbed another glass stick and she started to melt it. And I thought, okay, we're back to Jesus. We're back to the picture. And poof, it exploded again. And I just walked away because I couldn't handle it anymore. And I thought, she's not a picture of Jesus. She's a picture of the enemy. She's a picture of what the enemy wants to do in our lives and the trials. And isn't that just like life? When the heat is turned up, when the trials come, God has a plan of beauty. And yet that same plan of beauty, the enemy wants to turn it for destruction. The enemy wants to take it to wreck us, to crack us, to explode us. And I kept thinking about that story as I read and studied the life of Abigail. Here's this beautiful woman of good understanding, the Bible says. And yet she was married to a fool. And don't you wonder, how would God describe her before she was married? I mean, she was obviously always beautiful, but was she always a woman of good understanding? Maybe the seed was there, but I just wonder if God developed that as she was married to this fool, as she was married to this scoundrel, as she was married to someone who was filled with folly. And wouldn't you love to know how that marriage had been arranged? You know, did it happen when they were toddlers? Did it happen when they were young? And then maybe as the kid grew, the dad's like, oh dear, but I already gave him all my camels. I've got to give him my daughter. And why doesn't it seem like they have any children? And how long had they been married? And how long had Nabal been a fool? And what had gotten him to this point in his life? You know, was fool a nickname that people had given to him as he grew? Maybe in middle school, I think a lot of boys would be named Nabal. Junior high boys, high school boys, 18-year-old boys. Thankfully, their little frontal lobe starts to close and their foolishness starts to disappear. But it doesn't seem so with Nabal. We don't even know how old they were. Maybe he was still wide open on the front. We don't know. Was it something that his mom and dad had seen within him in the first week of life when they actually named him that? I would love to know all these situations. I hope we get to watch the movie in heaven. But you know, whether you're married in this room or not, and maybe you have a Nabal situation at home, but whether you're married in this room or not, I think that we have all been in Nabal situations in our lives. We've all been in nightmarish situations, in foolish circumstances. And like Abigail, we have had to face the choice of what we will do in them. What a beautiful example we have in Abigail, because again, what God had allowed in her life that he wanted to bring beauty from, that he wanted to bring good understanding from, she had the choice to let the enemy wreck her. She had the choice to let the enemy wreck her with bitterness. She had the choice to let the enemy wreck her with Nabal's foolishness. And instead, we see Abigail let God develop within her a beauty, an understanding. We see Abigail being a woman of faith in that she chose to stay in her difficult situation. You know, we tend to think of those who are filled with faith as those who step out. Those who step out, you know, we read Isaiah in Isaiah 6, God says, who will go for us? And Isaiah's like, send me, I'll go. And we use him as an example of faith. We look at missionaries. A lot of you know my parents. They're in Israel right now. And my mom texts me things like she keeps posting on social media too, like, oh, we had a great lunch. We ended up in the bomb shelter, but we got to bring our food with us, so it was okay. I'm like, Mom, stop texting me these stories. These are the ones that we think of are full of faith, the ones who will go, the ones who will step out. And yet I think that we see from the life of Abigail that sometimes it takes just as much faith to be the one who will stay. Just as much faith to be the one who will remain in a difficult situation. And obviously, I'm not just talking about marriage, but a lot of you, you have situations that you have the choice to go or stay. Should I stay or should I go? It's been a theme and a song, and it's always the question. And some of you have choices, difficult relationships, difficult marriages, difficult jobs, difficult classes, difficult people. And sometimes it's easier just to check out and to be done. And yet I think that the life of Abigail gives us the question, will you have the faith to stay? Will you have the faith, not that that person will change? It's not faith in a person. It's not faith in a situation. It's not even faith that your circumstances will change. It's faith in the God who has put you there for a reason. It's having faith in the God who wants to develop a beauty. It's having faith in the God who wants to develop good understanding within us. Will we, like Abigail, have the faith to stay put in a difficult job? Will we have the faith to stay attentive in a difficult relationship? Will we have the faith to stay present rather than to just check out? Will we have the faith to stay and hug someone instead of running for your life? Sometimes it takes more faith to stay. It takes faith in the God who can turn situations around. It takes faith in the God who can bring beauty from ashes. It takes faith in the God who will bring the garment of praise instead of sorrow. And it takes faith to know that even if we never see our earthly circumstances change, that a heavenly reward awaits us. Abigail chose to be wise, to have faith, to be of good understanding, and she never could have guessed the end of her story. I don't think she flew into action thinking, well, maybe God will strike my husband down, and maybe David will come and ask me to be queen, and maybe I'll end up at a palace somewhere. There was no way that sweet girl had that wonder or what if in her mind. And isn't that the way it so often is? God asks you to remain. He asks you to stay. He asks you to be of good understanding in difficult circumstances. And you have no idea what he is about to do. And even if he doesn't do what you hope he does, maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, I'd like a Nabal moment. He's dead. Even if not, and I kind of hope not, I don't want to like breathe prayers of killing your husband into your mind or anything like that. But the heavenly rewards that wait for an Abigail, that wait for someone who stays, that wait for someone who changes, that waits for the God to mold us into a beautiful crown of good understanding. See, Abigail had faith and she didn't try to remove herself from the refining circumstances, but Abigail chose by faith to let God have his way until he saw fit for her circumstances to be done. God describes her as having good understanding. Can you imagine that description of God upon your life? I mean, imagine if God is talking about you and he's like, oh, she's beautiful and she's got great understanding. That's amazing. The definition of understanding is to be sympathetically aware of other people's feelings, tolerant and forgiving, having insight or good judgment. And again, we allow trials to do one of two things in our lives. We've heard it said that they either make us bitter or better. And those are our options. Abigail had a husband that everyone around her acknowledged as a fool. David's men had come proclaiming peace, and Nabal returns with rudeness and sarcasm. And don't you just wonder how many times had Abigail been on the receiving end of that rudeness, of that sarcasm, of that cruelty? And how many women have you met who are bitter in their marriages and bitter in their situations, and you just wish that you could roll back the time to see what they used to look like before they let that person change them, before they let that situation get to them? You know, I can just hear Debbie Bryson's voice in this. You never know what they've been through. You got to keep loving them because they need Jesus. She always makes me think. I just get upset at upset people. And Debbie's like, oh, I just wonder, though, what was in their life, what happened to them. And I think, oh, Jesus, make me like Abigail and Debbie. Abigail let God use the fire in her life to melt down her flesh. Not to make her bitter, not to make her cynical, not to make her hard, but to let God produce a good understanding within her. That virtue, that faith that one day David fell in love with grew in Abigail through her marriage to this mean man. And she, by faith, let God keep her soft. Virtue was built within the trial. Faith was developed within the difficulty. And we see this, right, in the way that she handles the situation with this worker who comes and says, oh, Nabal, you know what a fool he is. You know what a scoundrel he is. And this is what he did. You know, I just wonder if I would have been like, let's grab a cup of coffee and talk about how awful he was. And yet she diffused the situations. And one of the sweet group leaders today said, how many times had she fixed the mess ups? How many times had she diffused those situations? She doesn't belittle him to the worker. She doesn't grab a cup of coffee and gossip. She was a peacemaker. 1 Peter 4 tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. Abigail, by faith, was a coverer. I don't know that that's a word, but she was a coverer. She didn't add wood to the fire. A soft answer turned away David's wrath. Abigail didn't bash him, bash the situation, although she had every worldly right. She covered his flaws with her words. By faith, she covered his flaws with her actions. This is a woman who was of good understanding. She understood. You know, Nabal knew the promises that God had made about David because we see that Abigail knew the promises that God had made about David. And we see David in this difficult moment. If you turn back in 1 Samuel, you'll see that Samuel had just died. I mean, think about where David was in this moment. Years before, he had been promised to be king, anointed by Samuel, given the promise by God. And then Saul needs a harpist, and David gets swept to the palace, and I just can see his wheels turning, thinking, oh, this is it, this is it. And yet into the wilderness he goes, hunted like an animal, for years. And all of a sudden, Samuel, the prophet that had anointed him, the one who knew the truth, dies. And don't you wonder if David was just left at that moment thinking, did we hear right? Is there anyone on earth who knows what God has spoken on my life? Or is my entire future just left to run? And maybe with all those thoughts and all those wonders and all those disillusionments running through his head, one more person says, who's David? Who are his men? Maybe he's just a slave who escaped from his master. And it was in that moment that David reached his last straw. Have you ever had a last straw moment? Not even the biggest thing going on in your life, but just the last straw moment, the last straw woman, the last straw conversation, the last straw kid. And David had reached it. And yet it's in that moment that Abigail jumps into action. See, she was a woman who was of good understanding, not someone who just saw the circumstances and reacted, but someone who had had a lifetime of praying, of asking God for wisdom, of asking God for insight. And I love that she responds with food. Love, humility, and food can solve most of the world's problems. And she comes and she reminds David of the calling that was hidden deep within him. See, Abigail was a woman of faith. And all these beautiful women of faith that we have studied were not just women of faith who kept their faith to themselves and used their faith to bless their own lives. Sometimes being a woman of faith means that you are one who imparts your faith to someone else who just doesn't have faith in that moment. Abigail had faith that God would do what he said he would do, that he would be who he said he would be. And Abigail had faith in God's faithfulness towards David, even when David couldn't find his own faith. Abigail didn't see David in that moment as who he was being and how he was acting and how he was behaving. Abigail had faith in the God who is raising this guy up to be king. And maybe in that moment, maybe, just maybe, David needed just one more person on the planet who could be a reminder in his hopeless place that there was someone else who believed the promises of God for him, even when he couldn't believe them for himself. That there was just one more person on the planet who could see what God was doing in his life, even when he could no longer see it. Maybe he just needed one more person who trusted the paths of God for him, the timing of God for him, even when he was blinded for a moment by despair. And isn't that what this world needs? This world is so up in arms right now. I don't know if you've noticed. And I have a feeling that in through November and then on into January, it's just going to get more and more up in arms. And this world does not need one more up in arms person. This world needs Abigails. This world needs Abigails who will step into the chaos, who will step into the conflict, who will step into the forgotten promises, the forgotten mindsets, and who will come with understanding, with gentleness, with humility, with food, and remind the Christians and speak out to the unsaved that God is God. That regardless of how November goes, regardless of how January comes, that we have a God who has promised a kingdom. That we have a God who has promised his goodness. That this right now, our current and present situation, is not our forever. Abigail reminded David that his circumstances were temporary, and precious Abigails in the room and in the world. I just want to deputize all of us to go out into the world and remind the world that this is not our forever situation. That this is our temporary world, that we're citizens of heaven. And you know, the world knows that they're in a pit. Your friends know that they're in despair. And we can either be those who cement people into their pits of despair, or we can be those who, like Abigail, raise them up with the goodness of God, the promises of God. Abigail raises David up to the place that she knew that God had designed him to be in, rather than speaking to him from the place he was reacting from. And whether it's in parenting, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a random encounter or another relationship, whether it's with your boss or an employee, being a woman of faith like Abigail means that we see the faithfulness of God for other people when their minds and their eyes and their circumstances are too foggy to see it for themselves. You know, I have to say that in the wild season I'm in, and again, if you don't know, you can come ask me or you can ask your neighbor. They probably know. But in the wild season that I'm in, I have so appreciated those who have come in faith and encouragement, who can see that God is working even when I am too foggy to see it. Who can see that God's at work, that he has a plan. Those who remind us of Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Those who remind us of Romans 8:28, he's working all things together for good. This world is desperate for Abigails. We are desperate for Abigails. So would we be an Abigail? And not those in a name it and claim it type way, but those who are so immersed in the character and the attributes and the promises of God, and who are willing to jump on a donkey with some food to step into the chaos. I mean, what would you have done in this moment if you were Abigail? I just kind of wonder, like, I don't mean to be, but I'm so fight or flight, like, and I'm always flight. I never fight. But you know, if the servant comes and says, listen, destruction is coming, David is coming, your husband's a fool, would there just be a tiny little moment where I would think, he is a fool? And I bet if I hightailed it out into the wilderness right now and just let destruction come on here, I could start a new life, turn over a new leaf, new season for me. And yet Abigail stays present. She stays put. And even when the reality that we're living doesn't match the promises that we've heard from God, our faith can rise up and speak to that. I heard it a long time ago that Abigail spoke to the king even when he was behaving like a savage. And as I was thinking about that, I just kind of thought, well, yeah, this is kind of a savage world that we're in right now, right? And maybe some of you have a savage household and there's savage circumstances. And yet, even in those, when we speak out the truths, the promises of God, and not just the promises, but did you notice in there that Abigail reminds him of his past? She says, God will sling out your enemies. David, don't forget what God did with Goliath. Don't forget. Here's this giant 9-foot man, and David runs at him. My husband was teaching on this recently, and he just said, because, you know, those of you who listen to him, he just thinks funny. And he's like, was that the first time that Goliath ever had anyone run at him before? And that was just such a funny picture in my head. Here's this man, and it was probably a little hard for him to move because he was so big. And David's just like, ah! It just made me laugh by myself in my house watching Wednesday Night Online. And Abigail takes that moment to remind David of what God had done and what he would do. Abigail's in the room. Do our words remind people of their seasons of faith, of what we've seen God do in the past? And do our words remind people that God will do it again? It's been said that his past faithfulness reminds us that he will be faithful in the future. And you know, really quick as we close, Abigail knew what to say, but I also think that her good understanding helped her know what not to say. She got home, nothing to Nabal. She didn't come flying in like all of us would, or I mean, not to put you in my category. She didn't come flying in like all of me would, and maybe you. Upset, telling him how you defused the situation because he was a no good nothing who messed all of this up. She was silent. She had faith not only to know what God was going to do in a good circumstance, but she had faith to know that God would be judge, that God would be sovereign, that God would take care of the situation. And God did. Abigail was one who waited on the Lord. Abigail was a woman of faith who, like Proverbs 3 says, trusted in the Lord. She didn't lean on her own understanding, and maybe that was what made her of good understanding, because our own understanding is never the good understanding. If you and I can get off of our own understanding and lean on God's understanding, trust God to work, trust God's timing, trust God's sovereignty, trust God's circumstances, then you and I will also be women of good understanding. Abigail just made me think and put me in the place of just longing to be a diffuser. You know, I know that they were so big a while ago. I still use mine. I don't know. I don't see them like on social media being advertised as much. But you think about a diffuser. Anybody have one of those still? They're almost archaic. And you put your little essential oil in it, and what happens? It changes the scent of the environment, of the room. You walk in and you can smell it. Abigail went into chaos and she didn't become chaos herself. Abigail came from bitterness, but she didn't become bitterness herself. Abigail was different. She leaned on God's understanding in faith, and because of that, he used her to change her environment. And Lord, that's what I pray over us. God, would you make us diffusers, diffusers of that fragrance of Christ. God, would you use us to bring a calmness, like the homework title, Calm in Crisis. Just kind of thinking, what title would you give me? Chaotic in Crisis? Crying in Crisis? God, we want to be calm in crisis. And we know, Lord, that that just comes from taking every thought captive and giving it to you, taking every hurt, taking every wound. Teach us, God, not to just see what we can see. Teach us to have eyes of faith and to see what you see. Teach us, God, not to be reactors. God, teach us how to walk into a situation, to speak your life, to speak your promises, to see by faith what you're doing. God, I pray you would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and give us a gift of faith right now. Let it fall upon every one of us in this room to not only be a woman of faith, but to have the gift of faith in those moments where others can only see crisis. Teach us to be patient in the circumstances that you've placed us in. And teach us, God, how to take our own eyes of faith that you give us and to impart them to others. To be encouragers, to literally impart courage to those who are in weakness and to those who are in desperation. Use us, I pray. Help us not just to sit comfortably like Abigail could have in her cranky little wealthy house. Teach us, God, how to step out, how to use the resources that you have given us to get on our donkeys, to bring the food, to speak with wisdom, to go in to the trenches of crisis with the faith that you give us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, girls. I love you.